All of this talk and our passionate advocacy for social media begs the question, why do we do it? Brian?
Well, being specific about the Generations Together project, which I think is a good place to start, I found it tremendously rewarding working with older people and helping them to work through this and to see that it's not big and scary, that you can do it, and that it's fun to do, and it also generates a whole load of benefits for them and their family. Reconnecting them with the younger people, great credibility with your grandchildren and great-grandchildren if you can get on the internet and show people stuff. And a lot of the people we work with said that that's what they wanted to do. And also, more importantly, I think, a sense of reconnection with younger people. This intergenerational working we've been doing, trying to get older people and younger people working together on stuff and using social media as a way of bringing them together, I think is a very positive thing and a great fun to do.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about it was that it felt very sustainable, because it's not a hit and run project. It's not us going in, interviewing them, recording them, and running away. It's us going in and saying, "This is how you can do it. Here are the tools." I mean, one of the women I was talking to at one of the events went off and got her son to buy her a laptop, because she went, "I can do this. This is great. How much are these things?" Yeah. Well, we were looking up prices on PC World website.
Yes, I remember, yeah.
Because she said, "Great, my son will buy me one of these." Yeah. And she says, "Can I get it on the web, on the internet, in the home?" And so we talked to the woman there from the home, and she says, "Well, yeah, I think we can." And so I then showed her how a MiFi worked, so that she could get mobile access if she needed to. But that sense of empowerment, that it wasn't about me doing something for her, but it was me showing her how to do it for herself.
How to do it.
You had another experience like that with looking up genealogies, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. An Irish lady that I was working with, it was the first workshop.
Yeah.
I recognised her accent, and it turns out she's been in England since the 1950s, which is when my dad came over from Ireland. And I recognised her accent, and it turns out she was from the town down the road from where my dad came from.
Yeah.
So we went on, I said, did you know that all the Irish census records are online now? She said, no, I didn't know that. And you can click through to the actual census collection by the census taker that was there. And you can see the handwriting of the people who filled the forms, and if they could fill the forms in. And we found her family, and we found my family, and it turns out that her granddad used to run a pharmacy in Clonmel, which is where my dad came from.
Oh, yeah.
So the chances are that there was some, we didn't know one another, there was some sort of, but in a funny way, that was a start point for her, that she saw what you could do and thought, now I know why this is useful for me. So she spent quite a bit of time then working with another lady, looking at genealogy sites. They looked at the village that the second lady came from. I showed them Google Earth, and we flew over the farmhouse where she worked when she was a girl in Google Earth.
Fantastic.
That was great, and it made it so relevant to what they were interested in. And we saw the church where she got married in a village in Bedfordshire that she goes back to a couple of times a year, because some of her family is still there. But it's that sense of reconnection. Reconnection with younger people, and reconnection from where they came from, in both those cases, that was really fantastic for me.
I think that the sense of a sort of empowerment through kind of access to this kind of technology is best embodied in the story of a guy that we met called Victor.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about Victor?
Well, you should start, because you worked first with him, didn't you?
Well, he came along to the first session that we did, and that one of the things with the Generations Together project was inviting people to come and be part of this reporting and promoting thing, was that they could be anywhere on the spectrum of technical literacy with this stuff, but they just had to have an interest. And this guy Victor came along, and how old is Victor? Is he in his late
81?
81.
Yeah.
And he came along, and he was clearly not native English. He had a lovely heavy accent, and he spoke in kind of riddles almost. That everything was he kind of missed, he would miss out the obvious statement and go straight to a metaphor or a story. And he had a book full of stories with him, which when he told him, it was a book of his dreams
yeah.
that he carried around with him to share with people. And he was just one of those compelling eccentrics to talk to. And I got to sit with him, and we started off by looking some things up, and I showed him how Postures works and how he could tell stories and so I recorded some stuff with him using audiobook, I was using the iPad at that point, and I just got him to talk, and he just chatted away, and he rambled, and he was very comfortable with it, partly because he wasn't actually that sure what was going on. But then we had a second session with the same crowd that he was at, and you got to do a bit more with him, didn't you, Brian?
Well, it was more. I watched it actually. It was Shaney Lee who worked with him, and they spent, I don't know, about 3 hours. Victor wrote his first blog post on Posterous, and Shaney worked with him for a bit, and then he just sat there and typed away. He was determined to type this blog post.
It took him ages.
He spent about an hour and a half, and it's what, 5 or 6 sentences, but he was absolutely determined to do it. And it's called My Secluded and Peaceful Home, and it's about the Elizabeth Barnes Court, which is the sheltered housing in Hammersmith that he lived in. And he wrote this in September, and we heard just before Christmas that he died. And he wrote a wonderful piece about how secure and happy he felt. And he talked about a special tree outside his window, exactly in front of my flat. His flat was on the first floor, and he said the fig tree was exactly in front of his flat and slightly to the left of my balcony, and is tall and spreads to all sides with thick branches. This tree, which is beautiful, also it shades the balcony glass from sun.
He was a lovely guy, and he was his sense of gratitude for what was going on. It's kind of the first session. I kept stopping and saying, you know, does this make sense? Do you get this? And you could see that it made enough sense for it to be interesting to him. But in the same way that he was talking in metaphors all the time, because there were a couple of things that he would start saying and I wouldn't get until afterwards.
Yeah.
But that he was sort of looking for what was useful in this rather than how it worked. He was much more interested in being able to tell these stories. So being able to go from that first session to the second session and then be told, here you are, you can do this. And it didn't matter to him that it took him an hour and a half to do. He wanted to do it because he saw that this was something that he could have a go at. And that empowerment, that thing of giving him the chance to do that, he didn't rush out and buy a computer. He clearly, you know, he didn't actually have all that long left after that. But that sense of seeing someone go from a position of saying, I'm interested in this, he'd probably been interested in it for years.
Mm.
He certainly talked a lot about, you know, much more mundane technology. Kind of when he came in, his point of reference was talking about TVs and things. We were able to give him the chance to say, you can do this. And there were a whole load of other people in that situation who we gave the chance to have a go at. And some of them went out and bought laptops and computers and things, and some of them are now using the computer in the home where they work. And for me in Scotland, what we're trying to do is come up with a really simple sort of 2 or 3 step way of saying you can use this in your situation. And I get excited about this because I think storytelling is a very, very powerful thing. I think that people talking about what interests them, the strap line on one of my blogs, I've got lots of blogs because I write a lot, I accidentally stopped that. What I was saying was that I like giving people permission. I like being in a position to empower people to tell their own stories. Most people feel like, you know, someone else has to come and do it for them, particularly elderly people, disabled people, housebound people, people who often have incredibly compelling stories to tell but don't feel that anyone's listening. And I love the point at which technology stops being about novelty and becomes about making things happen that wouldn't happen without it. That's more interesting to me. So that's why we do it. And I hope this series of conversations between Brian and I have been interesting to you. We'll do more, I'm sure. Talk to you soon.